I entered it. It was really scary because it felt like in a zombie apocalypse movie. And I was like, okay, where should I hide? Or do I have any weapon? Yeah, it was completely empty. No people there.
Hey Zesties, welcome to another episode of Vanilla Zest Podcast. I had a poll on Instagram a few weeks ago on some suggested episode topics, and one of you mentioned that you are interested in traveling in the new normal. So I'm very delighted to bring in today's episode one of my well-traveled friends who's going to speak from her experience on this topic. Please welcome Katarina. Yay!
Thank you.
Hi, Katarina or Pomi. Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing greatly. How are you doing?
Good. How are things over there in Hungary?
Well, the pandemic is still a thing, unfortunately, but the vaccination has just started, so we will see in the future. I hope it's going to be better. How is it on your side?
We just survived a 2.5 days of lockdown here in Brisbane, but there were only a few cases. So the thing here in Australia is that if they see a cluster, like maybe like 10 or 20 people, they always do this lockdown so that they can prevent or trace the people within that cluster. Yeah.
And it's a clever approach, I think.
Yeah, it's so nice. Four day weekend. During last year, you had visited some countries after the lockdowns eased. So which places did you travel to?
I'm not sure if my home country counts as a country that I'm visiting because I'm originally from Slovakia. So as soon as the lockdown was a bit eased, then I visited my parents in Slovakia. But if you are interested rather in a touristic destination, then in August 2020, I visited Italy. It was a road trip with my friend. And in October 2020, I went to Spain, to Gran Canaria, to visit my sister who lives there.
And how was it in Italy? Because Italy was badly affected with the virus around first quarter of 2020. So how was it traveling there?
Yes. So actually the whole purpose for the trip was to go with my friends and pick up her sister in a southern part of Italy. But because they wanted to be really precautious, then they chose the transportation method car, and they needed a driver. And that's how I came into the picture, because I don't like driving. I really hate driving, but they offered this opportunity to do like a real road trip in Italy. So I was really enthusiastic because of this. And we visited several cities and also the whole East Coast. And after that, went to the other side, reached the cap of the boots. I'm pretty sure that you're aware of that Italy looks like a boot. It's a boot-shaped country. And once we reached the top cap of the boot, then we went back. So actually, I have quite some experience about the country and how the situation was there in August 2020. Honestly, on the northern part, I was not really detecting that much the pandemic because Venice was quite crowded and there were a lot of tourists there. However, we were really intentionally avoiding the regions which were highly affected at the time when we were there. So we were visiting only the parts of Italy where the situation was better. And in those parts of Italy, we were not seeing that much of a change. Although, okay, Venice was crowded only for me, perhaps, because my friend said that, and for me, that was the first time in Venice, and for her, it was already the second time, and I said that I feel a bit overwhelmed with a lot of tourists, and she said that, oh, this is nothing compared to 2 years ago when they were there. So, yeah, maybe the number of the tourists is the most significant change if you check that, what is the difference before and after the pandemic.
So, during that time, did people wear masks even though the pandemic was easing a bit, but did they do some social distancing?
What you have to understand that in Europe, wearing masks was never a thing, not like in Asia. I remember when we went to Cebu or we visited South Korea, then in the large cities, you could really see people wearing masks because of the pollution. Here, it was, I think, a slower process to make the people wear those masks because there was a huge resistance, or I can say it in present tense as well, because there is still resistance towards wearing masks. And during the summer, when I was in Italy, it was mandatory only inside of the buildings. So outside, not so many people were wearing masks that time. Nowadays, I know that more and more countries in Europe are putting as a rule also to wear the masks outside as well.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I think it's because maybe the culture as well. You avoided those hard hit places. Any other difference there, or was it your first time at those places as well?
At these places, yes, it was my first time. And I also wanted to answer the second part of your question where you asked that how about the social distancing, which is really related to this. In the Mediterranean culture, I think this is also something that could cause a bit of an issue because the people are like hugging each other casually. Like, I think the social distancing thing was the other part which was hard to keep. And again, it was summer, the rules were a bit easing because of the cases were reducing a bit. And I think the people were just happy and celebrating the summer. So I would have preferred a bit more serious social distancing as well there. But yeah, it was.
Yeah, I think it's hard also when it's already deeply rooted to the culture, in terms of, you know, the hugging and kissing. And even here in Australia, I'm still a bit surprised that people still do handshake, and I don't actually prefer doing handshakes anymore, but people still do. And it's like, oh.
Because I completely feel you, because it's the thing here as well. So it just comes so naturally that it's a habit. You cannot simply get rid of it if you get used to that one. My father is shaking everyone's hands as well. And I find it really scary.
Yeah, it's just like, it's just hard to get away from it. But as long as everyone washes their hands or anything like that, so getting tested if they feel feverish or something, so it's not only the handshaking. So do you think that these changes will be permanent? But I think it's not going to be permanent because people are even resisting the current suggestions of having masks and social distancing.
No, I wouldn't say so, because this was the status during the summer of 2020, and since then I think the behavior of the people changed a bit as well, and now we are much more precautious. And you just mentioned washing hands, so hand sanitizers were also everywhere even during the summer. I think this is something that will remain. And also there were restrictions in entering the shops, so the number of people was defined, and this is something that is still a thing, and now in many other countries in Europe as well. So I think that's not going to be exactly the same as it was before. There will be always some rules, but I can't predict that in what extent it's going to remain. And now the people are really wearing the masks as well all over Europe. I mean, not all over, not in all of the countries, but for example in Hungary as well, it's now a thing as well that it's mandatory to wear outside of the buildings as well the masks.
Flashback to your trip last year, what preparations did you make when you went on that trip? Did you bring masks as well at that time?
Yes, of course. We knew that what are the restrictions in each country. So I love this question because I love planning. I'm a planner type of personality. So I think I'm a bit like your husband with creating Excel tables about the destinations and everything. But I think if you want to travel during the pandemic, this is something that you have to forget, because the rules are changing from one day to another. And we even had to change the destinations what we were planning to visit. Of course, we took some masks and we had to register in some of the countries. Actually, from Hungary to Italy, you have to cross at least two borders, because we started from Slovakia. That was the first point. So we had to take into consideration the actual rules in Hungary, in Austria, and after that we reached Italy. And on the way back, we spent there 3 weeks. And during these 3 weeks, the rules has already changed. So we had to change the route and we crossed through Slovenia, the border, instead of Austria, because the rules were more strict by that time. Mm. So I think preparation should be done, that you are really well prepared with the hand sanitizers and masks, and you try to keep the social distancing and really visit only the places which are not that crowded. This is something that I would recommend to everyone. On the other hand, don't create huge plans about your trip, because those might definitely change during your trip. In Spain, my flight was cancelled on the way back, so I had to find a replacement flight as well. The biggest recommendation is that create a high-level plan and don't stick to your plan, because during the pandemic, this might really change.
I could imagine, like, especially that last year, because this was last year. So I don't know if I remember it correctly. Was there like a lockdown in Italy during that period when you went there, or there wasn't like any change in lockdowns?
Some countries, Italy was one of them as well, are divided to regions, and they created a system of marking the regions with colors, green, yellow, and red. So obviously the countries which were colored with black, red, they were not recommending to visit them, because the number of the cases were extremely high. Those we really tried to avoid, and these were also changing from one day to another. So we were actively monitoring during our trip. So this is how some countries in Europe were solving this situation, so the tourism could also remain. The same applied for Spain as well. So in Spain, there was always an active report on the cases, on the number of the cases, and they decided that which parts of Spain are going to be in which color. Actually, in October, when I visited Gran Canaria, it was the only green part of Spain that time.
That time when you arrive, like in the border, there's no quarantine, like 14-day quarantine or something like that in place?
Now it might change for this season, but that time when I was visiting, the mandatory registration was required for all of the countries what I visited. So there was an online platform in Spain and an application via what you had to register that you are visiting the country and declare that you don't have any symptoms. For Italy, it via email, via a form that you had to fill out, but basically the content was the same. How it's going to be during this summer, I'm not sure about yet, because I could see that Greece is opening already its borders. So this is the one of the first destinations that the tourists might be able to visit, but we will see that what are the requirements. So I think during the summer, the touristic destinations will not require the 14-day quarantine, but I'm not sure that only for the vaccinated people, or you have to get tested immediately at the airport, because this is also the thing that they implemented in Spain after I left. So it was a bit later that you go to the airport and either you have a very fresh test or you get tested immediately at the airport, depending on the country.
Wow. Interesting. In Australia, December, we traveled, but only like within Queensland. A lot of places in Queensland are tourist spots or like the beaches and stuff. So a lot of people from Sydney came in and Melbourne. And there was one point that there was a hot spot in Sydney on that day, or like a day before or something. And then the Sydney people, when they arrived in Queensland, they have to quarantine for 14 days. So it was like, and they were like on the plane, like they only knew that when they were on the plane. It's very hard to travel during pandemic because of the changing rules.
But this was still in 2020, correct?
December 2020.
I really have high hopes that for this summer season, it's going to be a bit better planned. Obviously, it was a very new thing last year, so I don't think that the countries could well prepare for the process of entering a country. So I have really high hopes that this year we can somehow safely travel and make sure that we reach the destination and don't have to go to quarantine for 14 days there.
So Pomi, can you share to us some of the notable experiences during your Italy trip?
The most notable experience was when our car broke down in Tuscany, and that actually extended our trip by 5 days because the car was a rented one from Slovakia, and we needed to wait for the replacement car in a little small village. I'm not sure if it's a town, but rather a village called Monte San Savino. It's in Tuscany, and I recommend visiting Tuscany once you have the time for that, because it's really wonderful. The landscapes are stunning. It's like a the best place to be stuck in my opinion.
Wow.
So we were really sorry and stressed a bit to get our car because we didn't know how to get away from Italy. On the other hand, the nature is beautiful. You can do hiking there, and Florence is nearby. And that's one of the cities that I would love to revisit once, because I think the art, Italian art pieces are beautiful there. So
your car broke down just because you went on like a long trip?
Yes, actually, it was already on our way back when we reached Reggio di Calabria. And from that, we also touched Sicily on boat, came back. And when we were on our way back to home, then this unfortunate event happened. And it was really funny because it was in the middle of the nowhere and the people were super nice. They were super helpful. They even wanted to repair our car. But because of the fact that it was rented, we had to wait for the official repair. However, during August, there is a huge holiday in Italy, and you couldn't find anyone who would be able officially repair that brand. And that's why we in the end had to wait for the replacement cars.
What were your activities during that 5-day extension? So, which wasn't planned, I suppose.
Yeah, it was it's really like sanatorium feeling, because there are small villages in a spectacular landscape, not so close to each other. The nature is beautiful, and you can do hiking. That's what I would recommend, because with all the oil trees and beautiful hills, it's the Tuscany is really something that I would recommend to visit. I'm not surprised that many romantic movies have the settings in Tuscany, because the landscape is worth visiting for sure. But we were still continuously waiting for the information when our car will get repaired, so we couldn't, and we didn't have a car. so we are not very much able to go huge distances by train. We reached Firenze, Florence, and that was, I think, the only distant destination. But if you would like to see the map of this little small town, Monte San Savino, I think I can draw it by heart, because we were having a lot of breakfast there, a lot of brunches, and some gin tonic, so we had some fun there as well. But hiking, I really would recommend hiking in Tuscany. That's a perfect place for that.
What was the best food you've tasted over during your stay in Italy?
In Italy, all the pizza and all the pasta. I love Italian food, so you cannot go wrong with Italian food. Never.
So, you've mentioned that you've visited Gran Canaria in the Canary Islands. So can you share your experiences there as well?
Yes, of course. So that's the place where my sister lives, and that's my regular destination when I would like to have a holiday. I am not that keen to explore everything around, because I have been already there for several times. So I have seen some parts of the island. I went there by plane. And as I told you earlier, I had to change my destination change the flight in Madrid. And once I got there, I received the information that my flight back was cancelled. So I had to find a replacement flight, which prolonged my stay by 1 week. And that was the point where I decided that I have to do something interesting, let's say, apart from visiting my sister. Of course, visiting my sister is the main business reason why I went there. But I decided to visit windsurfing school, and I started the basics of windsurfing. It's such fun. I recommend it to anyone or everyone who would like to try it. It's very difficult, but the basics are not that difficult. So even me, who doesn't have very good balancing skills, could independently sail and sail out and sail back. So that's something that is real fun.
I'm just trying to Google windsurfing, because I'm not very familiar with this kind of activity.
But you know, surfs, and when you have a sail attached to the surf itself, that's the windsurfing. So.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it looks difficult but fun. Was there a lot of waves over there?
Where my sister lives, yes, there are quite huge waves. So it's a very popular spot for windsurfers who are much more skilled than I am. So for beginners, they are taking you to another harbor where the waves are not that big. But in the end, I was able to sail at the place where my sister lives.
Oh, wow. In just a week?
A bit more than a week. because I was visiting them like every second day, I would say. So I think it was 15 hours of practice. Yeah, maybe.
Europe is rolling out the vaccines, but currently you didn't get vaccinated yet, right?
No.
Do you plan to go after or before you get vaccinated? What is your initial thoughts?
My initial thoughts are that I would love to receive the vaccination as soon as possible, because with that, I think it's going to be safer to travel. And that's why I'm not planning any kind of trip before the vaccination, but I'm not sure that when I will get the vaccination. So it will depend on that as well, because we have the good weather here, you know, from June until September. So if before that I get the vaccine, then I will be super happy. How about you?
For us here, it's most likely our age group is in the last people to get the vaccine. And especially right now, the supply is not arriving. So with the Pfizer vaccine, I heard, but AstraZeneca, they can manufacture it locally. Yeah, I think for us, I think realistically, only next year. But yeah.
That's clear. And what are your dream destination then?
I really like to go to Japan. We actually wanted it last year, but I had a lot of financial troubles last year with some hospital bills and stuff. So yeah, maybe next year, depends on a lot of factors, but Japan is really Japan and Korea because of BTS as well.
You would love Korea, I'm sure. We will see what's going to happen during this summer and where we can travel. Still, I hope we will have some nice holidays.
Yeah.
And for you, winter holidays as well.
Winter. I want to escape the Australian summer. I feel that it's hotter than the Philippine summer, I feel. I don't know.
Maybe because of the deserted area around you?
I think so. I don't know. Or maybe now here, I don't use umbrella anymore when I walk if it's summer. But in the Philippines, it's really like we really, you know, the umbrella for the skin and stuff.
I remember.
Yeah, it's very hot walking in the summer here. And so we went to the beach last summer. Tommy really had like a bad sunburn, and he didn't got that sunburn in the Philippines. Anyway, so some fun questions. So if you have a superpower, what would it be and why?
That's a funny question. And I have two answers on that, because I would really love to have a healing power to help your dad, for example, or to my mom, who are now not in their best shape. So that would be nice to have. On the other hand, I also think that we as human beings have the superpower. Just we are not aware of this, and things that are happening around us are like a warning. I forgot to tell you that when I visited my sister in Gran Canaria, I had to change the flight in Madrid, and Madrid Barajas is one of the biggest airports in Europe, and it was always crowded, like with full of people that you can imagine in any huge airport. But at the time when I went there and I entered it, it was really scary, because it felt like in a zombie apocalypse movie. And I was like, okay, where should I hide? Or do I have any weapon? Yeah, it was completely empty. No people there. And for me, it's these kind of things are a bit of a sign that everything that we might see in the movie as a catastrophe movie might come true once. And I think that this pandemic is also like a notification to us that we should take more care about our mother nature and the earth, and do more, because we can definitely do more. And it makes me a bit sad that even from this situation, it became like a political and economical question, that who gets which vaccine or who gets vaccinated and how. Again, we are not learning from our mistakes. Everything is about money. So what I would like to have the superpower to make all the people realize that actually we are the one who can change the world for the better, and we should be not as selfish as we are now, and think about consequences of our actions, and that we can do it because we do have the superpower. We can take the responsibility if we want to take the responsibility. So I hope that once we will see it, or we will see it before it's too late.
And the winner for Miss Universe is Katarina. Yes. what a like a philanthropic answer, like fitting for like this kinds of like Miss Universe questions, because if I would have been asked the same question, I would just say that in a selfish way that I want to have teleport, you know, that's just my superpower. But like hearing your answer is like, oh, the winner is
thanks. No, but teleport is a good thing as well, but I was thinking about that invisibility or this what you mentioned, but the teleport is not, I mean, it's very convenient, and I would love to have it time to time, but if you travel for pleasure, then it's always about the journey, not about the destination. So if we would have the teleport, then we would miss the journey itself. That's
well said, well said. Yeah, that's nice.
And but it's also good for superpower.
Yeah,
like
a lot of my guests, every time, or even just my friends, a lot of them say that they want the invisibility superpower. And
that's
another,
scary.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of creepy as well.
Yeah, it is. From the other side, if you are not the invisible one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you could know the absolute and total truth to one question, what question would you ask?
Wow, that's a surprise question, because I was not prepared for this at all. Absolute truth. First thing that comes to my mind is the meaning of the life, but I have already read the answer from Douglas Adams that it's 42. I mean the answer. Although I'm not sure if it's the absolute truth.
nice one. And one last fun question. Which country has the best weather for you?
I love the seaside. So it's not about the weather for me. I love ocean, and I'm coming from the mainland of Europe where we don't have it. So what I would love to have the weather where I can swim in the ocean. So it should be like not too warm, but warm enough for me to swim.
Oh, nice. All right. Any other things you would like to share for our Zesties out there?
Before you wrap up, I would like to ask the very last question back from you.
Which one? Which question? The weather?
No, sorry, not the very last, but the before that one. The weather, I'm sure you prefer hot weather, if I know you well.
Yeah.
So the one that you asked before, that what would be the question?
The absolute and total truth to one question. I don't even have something in mind.
I didn't have either. So you have
but
to come
you
up with
you,
something.
You answered like a very on point one, which is like the meaning of life. But other than that, how do we solve poverty?
That's a very altruistic question. You said that you were selfish, but you're not.
Thank you so much for your time and sharing your experiences today, Pomi. And I'm sure our Zesties, especially the one who asked this question, will be happy. She was very curious on what are the happenings on how people travel around the world. So thank you so much for your time. And do you want to share your social media accounts?
Sure, but I have only Facebook. I'm not a huge social media fan, and I'm not very active, but I have a Facebook account if that helps.
Okay.
Sorry, if I can tell just one advice to your friend who is planning to travel, don't make detailed plans. Be flexible and try to adapt to the current reality in the country that you're planning to visit, because in that case it's going to be super fun even this year.
And thank you. Yes.
And thank you very much, Gleef, for having me. It was an honor to talk to you.
Thank you, Pomi. Which countries are you planning to visit once it's safer to go, maybe in this coming summer? Because I get confused with the seasons as well, because your summer is our winter. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Apologies for this. I was not considering the
switch, it's okay.
Every time when I say summer, it's winter in your case. So apologies to your listeners as well. So please disregard all the summer word in my speech. It's winter.
So, but on your side, so let's talk about on your side, which countries are you planning to go in case this summer?
Yes, I think the realistic plan is to do a European trip. So Balkan was planned with my friend because I love good food. And that's also a destination that we could potentially visit by car. So that was like a backup scenario, because last year we've had a bigger plans before the pandemic. We wanted to visit South Africa and Mozambique and also Japan. But I would love to do this trip. And I would love to also visit you in December or in November in Australia.